happening, the souls that are being blessed, the souls that are being saved. You know, we won't spend a whole lot of time on that because I just want to preach. That's what God's called me to do. I don't like focusing on me a whole lot. I want to focus on the Lord. But the Lord really just has me busy. Brother Dennis said, with working with our food pantry and working here actually involves all week, gathering the food together for our pantry. And we also work with Manna Ministries and Franklin's food pantry. We get them milk every week. We go and pick that up. So through the various food ministries, we're ministering to over 200 families per week. And we just praise the Lord for that. A couple weeks ago, we actually saw souls saved at ours. And that's what it's really all about. We're not there just to give them food. We're there to give them the gospel. And if we just give them the food, we have failed. But, you know, we have to take care of some people, the homeless ministry part of it. Some people, they made bad decisions. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. Well, we didn't deserve Jesus Christ, but he came and died for us anyway. So, you know, we do that once a month. We're at Parish Foundation in Elkton serving a meal for them. And another night a month, we're at City Gate Rescue Mission serving a meal there. We'll be having a resource clinic at City Gate the 16th of this month. That's a couple Saturdays from now, where we have a church service. We feed them a meal, and then we open up the resources. We try to help them get birth certificates. I know some of you have been to the resource clinics and know a little bit of what it's about. Birth certificates, letters to home, put together resumes to help them get out of the situation that we're in. But it all starts with a church service. I had the privilege of preaching at that last year. I think actually Brother Travis will be preaching this year. So there's a lot of things. I do a lot of things. We had the privilege last year of helping True Gospel. They were without a pastor. We were full-time pulpit supply for them for 6 months, and then they voted Brother Jimmy back in. So, yeah, the Lord does have us doing a lot of things. But, you know, I'm just thankful that he counts me worthy to be used of him. Not that I'm worthy within myself. But, you know, just quickly, Monday we go to Martin's. We have a pickup there. Wednesday we go pick the bread up for our food pantry. Thursday morning we start at 7:30, and we're not done till 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then we meet Brother Jim down here at 7:30 Friday mornings to go get bread, and then we're here all day at this pantry. But through the food ministry, you may not hear of a lot of people getting saved. You may not hear of it, but you know you're touching lives. And you're showing the love of Christ. And so that's what the Lord has. And preaching, we're still just preaching everywhere. Last year, I was at my home church 3 Sunday mornings all year long. The rest of the year, I was away preaching somewhere. So we just thank God, and I wanted to personally stand in front of the church and thank you for supporting me. If it wasn't for support of churches and people, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. You know, I wouldn't be able to go get the food, and there's also the times we get calls, we have to just, when you're in the ministry like we are, and Joanne can tell you, whenever you hear of a truckload of food, you have to go get it. And you don't want to say no anytime because they might not call you the next time. Yeah, I mean, you just have to have that kind of attitude about it. But we're thankful for this church, your willingness to support me in the work that God has me doing. I'm thankful to be busy. I'd rather wear out than rust out. I'll just be honest about it. When I left my job 6 years ago, I did not realize where I would be today. You know, I left my job believing I'd be traveling 40 weeks a year preaching revivals. That hasn't happened. But I believe the Lord used that to get me where I'm at today. I'm just going to be honest about it. If the Lord had said, you're going to leave your work and go gather food all week, I don't know if I would have jumped up and down about that. But I'll be honest, when you see your pastor in the kitchen of your social building, praying with a woman and leading her to Christ, and she's there because you had food to give her, it's worth it all. and I'm thankful. All right, that's enough. We want to get into the Word of God this evening. Turn to Psalms 100. Do keep me in prayer as we keep going. Another thing we do, we'll be going to North Carolina, not tomorrow, but next Monday with a load of stuff we take down to thrift stores there that support missionaries' work. It's all, everything that comes into the thrift store where we take the goods goes to missionaries. So God blessed us with a van to take the stuff down, and he loads it up. Every month I get to take a load down, and if you know anything about the Grand Caravan still going, you can load that thing down. It'll hold a lot of stuff, can't it? So we're just thankful for what God has us doing. All right, Psalms 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, again, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to come together, Lord, just to worship you in spirit and in truth. We do thank you for the spirit that we've already felt, Lord, for the songs that have been sung, everything that's been done up to this point. We do thank you and praise you for it. But Lord, we pray now as we stand that you would just anoint us from on high. Lord, I realize I can't do anything within myself, but God, I'm praying that you would just take us and you would use us for your honor and for your glory tonight. God, I do pray that you'd remove anything from us that would be a hindrance to the service. Again, that you'd fill my mouth with the things that you'd have me to say, and Lord, that you'd stop me from saying anything that would be in myself, that truly it would be your words that would come forth. Again, we thank you for each one that has come out to be in the service tonight. And God, I do pray that you'd bestow a special blessing upon each one of them. But Lord, we pray tonight, not that we'd just be challenged by your word, but God, I pray that we'd be changed by your word this evening, Lord, that you'd show us something, Lord, that it would help us in our walk with you. And Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you and the free pardon of sin, God, I pray that you'd speak to that heart this evening to be the very hour that accepts you as our personal Savior. Lord, again, have your will and have your way, and we'll thank you, God, we'll praise you for all this done, to ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, at this whole psalm here, we understand it says a psalm of praise at the right under where it says Psalm 100. That's the only psalm out of all of them. Now, that's a lot of praise in the psalm, but this is the only one that has a set heading of a psalm of praise. You can look at the rest of them, and they don't say that, but it starts out with making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I tell you, I'm thankful that God has given us something to rejoice about, something that we have. But you know, we're just going to get right where the Lord wants us to be tonight. We want to look at the second verse, and we're really only going to look at the first half of the second verse this evening. And we want to bring out a few thoughts that God has placed on our heart with that. And it starts out with that first word. It says serve. And you know, we want to think about that for a little while this evening. We're living in a me world, and we're living in a time when people don't want to do things for anybody else. They want it all done for themselves, and the Bible starts out here saying serve. We want to realize, first of all, that involves action. You don't serve people by sitting in a church pew. Just be honest about it. Service doesn't happen while we're here. Service happens when we leave here and start applying what God's taught us while we're inside the walls of this church. Our service, what we're supposed to be doing, is outside of the walls of this church. That word serve means that we've got to be doing something. We look at Matthew, the 9th chapter. If you turn there real quick, we want to see a word that's used by our Savior himself. In Matthew chapter 9, and at the end of that chapter, we have the Lord saying that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 37, and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth. And what's that next word? laborers. He doesn't need people filling churches. He needs people that are in the churches that are willing to go out and do the work that God has called us to do. I tell you, we love the blessings of God. We love preaching about being joyful and making the joyful noise and praising God in the sanctuary. And even in this psalm, it goes on to say to enter into His courts with thanksgiving and to His gates with praise. We understand that. But I tell you, when it comes to serving the Lord, it involves doing something. It involves going out and telling a lost and dying world about a Savior that loved them enough to leave the portals of glory and come to this earth and die on an old rugged cross. But thank God, in 3 days He came forth out of that grave. Well, I tell you, we can't say we're a servant if we're sitting still. Servants don't sit still. In fact, turn to Luke, the 17th chapter. We want to look at a little parable there that Jesus gave concerning what he termed at the end of that being an unprofitable servant. In verse 7 of Luke chapter 17, the Bible tells us, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." In other words, he's saying, as a servant, I always has a job to be done. We're always, you know, when you stop and think about serving in the kingdom of God, there's always a job to be done. You know, we're talking about all that the Lord has me to do and the opportunities. I didn't mention it, but in September, we'll be making another trip to the Philippines. Praise God, last year when we went, we saw 75 souls saved while we were there in the Philippines. And I tell you, I get anxious to go to places like that because they'll actually listen to you. Brother Dennis, you can go out talking to people and they'll listen to you and talk to you about the Lord. I know in America, it's getting harder and harder. You go out knocking on doors, and we still do it even though people shut the door in our face, and whatever happens, we still go out because they still need to hear about Jesus Christ. But it involves doing. If you're going to serve, it means you're busy. You're doing something. You don't serve God sitting in a church pew. You serve God out in the world. So we see the action of the word serve, but we also need to see the attitude of the servant. We need to understand that if you're going to serve somebody, you've got to be humble about it. You can't serve somebody and look down on them like you think you're better than what they are. That's not going to demonstrate and show them the love of Christ. We're living in a day, I tell you, I'm glad I'm in a Baptist church. I'll be honest about it. I'm thankful. I was raised in a denomination that believed you could lose your salvation. And when I was 14 years old, I decided I'd never be good enough to go to heaven, so I might as well have as much fun as I could while I was here. But I'm thankful one day I heard about grace and I heard about mercy and I accepted Christ. And I'm thankful that it was in a Baptist church, and I believe the Baptists live the closest to what the Bible teaches and teaches the closest to the Word of God. But I tell you, I'm not proud to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a child of God. I tell you, being a Baptist won't get me into heaven. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what's going to get me into heaven. We need to have that attitude of a servant. Well, what is that attitude? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." In other words, don't do it for strife, and especially that vainglory, that empty being lifted up. "But in lowliness of mind." You want the attitude of a servant? Lowliness of mind. And then it says, "Let each esteem other better than themselves." You know what that word esteem means? That word esteem means to place a value on. That's what the word esteem means. And that verse is telling us that I should place more value on everybody else than I place on myself. Well, that wouldn't hit real well. Some of my Baptist brother, would it, Brother Dennis? they think they're it. They have a whole magazine talking about how good they are. I'll get off that. But but I tell you, if we're going to be a servant, we've got to have the attitude of a servant. Why would I serve somebody, or why would I reach out to somebody that I think is less than me? See, you understand, to have the true attitude of a servant, you've got to be willing to put yourself aside and lay your thoughts and your needs and everything else aside and take care of the person that you are serving. That's really what it's talking about. We see that Jesus gave us that greatest example. Here in Philippians it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're supposed to be looking out for our brethren. We're supposed to be helping our brethren when they're in need. And then it goes on to tell us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But with that kind of example in front of us, why do we think we're so great? Why do we allow pride to well up in us when we realize the greatest example we had, thought it not robbery to be equal? You know what? He was God. He was God the Son. But yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. It wasn't just an ordinary death. It was one of the most brutal, cruel deaths that a person could die. And he did that for you and for me. He told us in Mark, the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10, verse 42, I believe it is. The disciples, even they were having this little bit of a strife about who was the greatest. And Jesus said, you know, well, let's jump to verse 44, 43. But so it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus himself, God the Son, the only one that really had a right to come to this earth and say, you all should serve me. That's not what he did. He came to this earth, and he didn't come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister to others. And boy, if that's his example, that's the example we should follow, and that's what we should be doing in our life. We need to get off our high horse, if you want to put it that way, and understand that once we were lost and undone and on our way to a devil's hell also, we aren't any better than anybody else out in the world. The only difference between us and them is we heard the truth and we accepted it. That's the only thing that's made us different. The Apostle Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Now, there's some that say you shouldn't say you're a sinner. And they say that Paul, they use what Paul wrote to others about being saints. But you know what? I thought about that. I saw it actually on Facebook, Brother Dennis. You know, Brother Craig Edwards put a post about being a sinner, helping other sinners, and somebody had to comment on it about, you know, well, we shouldn't call ourselves sinners. And Paul did write to the Romans, said, called to be saints. And he referred to others as saints. And I got to thinking about that. And boy, I tell you, what it came down to was when Paul referred to others, he called them saints. Esteem others better than yourself. When he referred to himself, he once said he was the least of the apostles. Another time, a verse we're going to go to in a few minutes, he said, I am less than the least of the saints. And then the third time when he referred to himself, he said, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Boy, I tell you, in that Facebook post, Brother Craig said it right. The other guy said it right. But the problem was, he didn't have the right perspective on it. Brother, the Apostle Paul, when referring to himself, would call himself a sinner. But referring to others, he would call them saints. In other words, he was esteeming others better than himself. Exactly what he wrote in Philippians. See, understand that we have this group that wants to say we shouldn't call ourselves sinners. I'm just a sinner saved by God's marvelous grace. That's all I am. And why would I think that I shouldn't bow down and help other people? They may have made some wrong choices in their life, but I made a few wrong choices in my life. I made a few wrong choices after I accepted Christ. But then I had the Spirit sort of let me know right away I'd messed up. We're not any better than anybody else. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded of where the Lord brought us from. If we're going to be a servant, we've got to have the attitude of a servant. We have the action. We have the attitude. So now we move on in that verse to the next two words. Serve the Lord. Well, obviously, when we're talking about action, we can't actually, so to speak, carry a plate of food to the Lord or hand him a box of groceries or whatever it is. We can't do that. So how do we serve the Lord? Well, I'll turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25, we won't go through all of it. It's talking about the dividing the sheep and the goats, and I understand this is a judgment of the nations if you want to get right to the actual interpretation of it. But Brother Dennis, I believe you believe this too. The Bible has one interpretation, but it has several applications. And this is one of those applications that we're going to make with this verse in 25:40. First he said to the ones, he said, you have ministered to me, I was hungry, you fed me, and all of these things. And they asked the question, the question starts in verse 37, but the answer comes in verse 40. The question is, when saw we thee in these conditions and ministered unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. How do we serve the Lord? We serve the Lord by serving others. And if I understand that, it's not just talking about the pastor or the missionary or the evangelist or the deacons of the church. He said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, really, if we stop and think about it, we're all one of the least of these, his brethren. If you really stop and think about it, if we'd all have the right attitude, we'd all be serving one another. Just stop and think about it. If we'd have the right attitude, we'd all be serving one another. But you know, if we talk about serving the Lord, we talk about reaching out to a lost and dying world. We see what Jesus did, how he died on the cross for our sins, the payment that he made. But I tell you, and I hear people say, well, you don't know what they did to me. Look what they did to Jesus. And he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when we think about too many times, we start putting people in categories. They deserve it. They don't deserve it. Whatever. None of us deserves anything from the hand of God. Jesus himself said, if you do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, we serve the Lord by serving others. And not just those that have the nice suits and ties and all of that to wear. Maybe the one that doesn't have anything but a t-shirt and jeans to wear to church. That's still one that needs served. That's still one we need to be reaching out to. Amen. Their soul is just as valuable in the eyes of God as anybody else's. That's what we tend to forget. Even those we see when we go out into the woods, they're souls. that need to know about Jesus. They need to know that even in the condition they're in, God still loves them. They may have made some bad choices, but that doesn't change God's love. That's what we've got to realize. It doesn't change God's love. We serve the Lord. As we look at this verse, we see the action and the attitude of serve. We see how we serve the Lord by serving others. And we'll end with that, the last two words, with gladness. Now, if I walk into the food pantry every week and I'm snapping at everybody and I've just got a horrible attitude, how much of the love of Christ is that showing? Yeah, they need to see that we've got something inside. What does it say in Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We got something to rejoice about. I tell you, we need to understand and realize that it's not a duty to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 8. The Apostle Paul speaking. This is one of the verses we spoke about earlier. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter and James and them preached to the Jews. Paul preached to the Gentiles. He was the one that took the missionary journeys. But in the midst, what I want us to see in this verse, he said, is this grace given? Now we know the definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, the Apostle Paul was admitting there wasn't anything good in him that God saw that caused him to call him to preach to the Gentiles. It was God's grace being given unto him. That's simply what that call was. And here's another one of them. That's the interpretation of it. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But the application is, if God is allowing us to do anything in His kingdom, it is a grace that is being given unto us. You know, we understand that. We realize, first of all, we couldn't do it within ourselves anyway. We are powerless without the Lord working in our lives. He's the one that gives us the ability to do the work. We need to understand what a privilege it is to be a servant of God. We need to understand that it is a high privilege for God to call us into a work in His kingdom. And we've all been called to work. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a missionary or an evangelist, but we're all called to be a witness. We're all called to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. And we need to understand that's a privilege. We didn't deserve that. Paul said, is this grace, God's unmerited favor, given to me that I should preach the gospel? To bring it to an example that I heard many years ago, and it stuck with me. You can take one phrase and change one word in it and make all the difference in the world. I could have said tonight, I've got to go preach. But the attitude the Lord's given me, and I'll put it that way, is I get to go preach. You understand the difference between them two phrases. The one is, man, this is a drudgery. I really don't want to go do it. The other is, man, this is a privilege that God is allowing me to do this. And I don't care whether it's serving food at a food pantry or a homeless shelter or walking out in the woods to those that are living in the tents. It is a privilege to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. We need to realize how much of a blessing it is to be allowed to be used in God's kingdom. You know, the apostles, when they were beaten, They left the prison rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for the Lord. And we grumble and complain about what God's given us the privilege to do. This evening, the Lord has definitely redirected the ministry I thought I was starting in. But He's opened my eyes to a lot of things. And made me realize it doesn't matter where a person's living, whether it's a tent in the woods or a mansion on the hilltop, they have a soul that needs to know about Jesus Christ. And they need people that are willing to serve them. See, when we go to that resource clinic on the 16th, they purposely set it up, Brother Dennis. We don't have them stand in line and come get the food. We set them down at tables. And we have people, most of the time it's our young people, will carry their food to them, take their orders from what we have. And we actually serve them. You know how many times that happens to them in their life? Probably once a year when we do the resource clinic. But that feeling to them that these people are willing to do that for us gives them that idea that we really do care about them. We're not just there to give them food. We're there to let them truly see the love of Christ. What we do down here at Tabitha's, what we do at corners of the field, we do it to show the love of Christ. But every one of us as a child of God should be willing to be a servant so that we can show the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. This evening, with heads bowed and eyes closed,